you guys, and welcome back to another episode of The Revolution of the Black Woman Will Be Televised. I am one of your hosts. I am Danielle Bailey.
I am your co-host, Tamika Rhines.
What's up, you guys? Welcome back. Welcome back.
Boom.
Boom. Y'all can't tell us nothing. Sign us right now, okay?
On these vocals.
On these vocals, we got them. We got to get us a... Somebody got to record us a jingle or something, okay? Because this isn't it. So, what's up, you guys, as I put the laptop down. So, in today's episode, last week's episode was kind of like... heavy.
Another transparent one
telling our viewpoint from it's in the series about not being a mommy, now what. So in that series, we're going to go into today's series, which is I'm a single mom, now what.
So our goal leading up to Mother's Day is to talk about mothers,
yeah,
and women who are not mothers, women who desire to be mothers, mm-hmm, and have not gotten to that season yet, women who don't have the ability to become biologically mothers. I think we're also going to cover mama drama,
yeah,
mama trauma. And in this series leading up to Mother's Day, this specific episode is going to speak to, I am a single mom, now what?
Yes, I think that like we have to speak about this in... because it's like a lot of single moms are out there, and I don't think that it was their first choice to become a single mom.
Oh, I definitely agree with that. From my own personal experience, I did not have children, did not get pregnant, sometimes by the grace of God.
Come on.
By somebody praying for me. I did not conceive until I was maybe 3 years into marriage. And that was meeting the societal standard.
Mm-hmm.
That was fulfilling my father's vision.
Mm-hmm.
That was meeting the church standard.
Mm.
A lot of pressure in those areas as far as in making the right decisions. And I know that as far as in my father and the church, it was put in that perspective for very, you know, spiritual reasons that I understand now that I'm older. But... I did not, number one, get married with the intention to be divorced, and I did not become a mother with the intention of becoming a single mother. It was nowhere in my brain cycle that, okay, in 12, 13 years from now, this is going to all be over, and you're going to start life over, and it's going to be with children.
Wow.
And I don't think, like you said, that's just to confirm what you said from my own experience. There's no, a lot of women don't go into it. And I think there are some women, maybe it's not the majority, who decide to do it on their own by way of sperm banks, in vitro, you know, stuff like that, different medical options out there. But I think for the majority, when you partner with somebody, whether it's in marriage or in a committed relationship and you get pregnant, the intention is not to do it without the partner. Yeah. Whether you have where you're married and you feel like a single parent, or whether you're in a relationship and the relationship just doesn't work out and you become the majority, the primary parent of the child.
You just said something that I want us to go back to, whether you're married and you still feel like a single parent.
Yeah, so that's a big one. That's
that is... How many people out there that are married but you still feel like you're a single parent? Don't y'all all raise y'all hands at the same time or whatever, but like,
I think it's a real thing.
Yeah.
And I think that goes back to society depending on the free labor of women.
Mm-hmm.
I think the bigger picture is that we're groomed to take care of everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And do it and act like you're not ever tired.
Right.
Or portray that you're not ever tired. Right. Like you're supposed to be carrying all the weight, but you have a living partner.
Right.
You're in relationship with someone that you're supposed to be partnered with. So that's where I think it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's been modeled that way by several generations. And I think that you're coming into a generation of women that are like, not no, but hell no.
Right, right, right. Like you can't expect me to carry this load all by myself. Like, we are not our grandparents to where we have to stay with you because of financial reasons. Like, I feel like a lot of grandparents took that because, one, the woman did not work. Yeah. So she had to accept what the man was willing to give to her. She had to accept, you know, the children outside of the marriage, the children across the street, because he either messed with her or the children up around the road. Like, we do not have to accept that. And I think that that's also another reason why there's an increase of single mothers too, because I remember some people, I was saying on social media, like, do y'all not y'all grandmothers? You're damn right.
Yeah, baby.
I'm not going to be here.
I'm not. I think the generation of independent that you see now was born from that generation seeing their mother and our grandmother struggle through staying married to someone who was not healthy for them because they didn't have any other choice.
Yeah.
So no slight to her making the choices that she had to make sure her family was provided for.
Right.
But that instilled in the next generation, I'd be damned if I go through what my grandmother went through.
Absolutely.
I'd be damned if I go through what my mama went through. And if I got to do this by myself, I'd rather be by myself than go through what they went through.
Right.
So I think that's what birthed the generation of independence. I mean, and I think that for me, independence was instilled in me by my father.
I was just going to say that too.
It was nothing. I can't say it was nothing. I have had and still do have my struggles as starting life over basically from scratch. Like, have the house, have this, have that. I'm going to go on with my peace and I'm going to figure out life with my children. And it's actually lighter.
Yeah.
You know, do I have times where I wish I could trade off things, or I wish I could, you know, go see Chris Arduin on the week that I have the kids.
Yeah.
Shout out to my favorite Zydeco artist out there. You know, there are some things there that you do have to sacrifice. And I have to say, for full transparency, I share custody of my kids.
Yeah.
And he gets his children when he's supposed to have them, without having missed anything, without it having to be on paper, without the man having to be in his life. So that's a different level of being a single mother. I don't know what it is to be a full-time single mother where maybe the father gets their kids on weekends or not at all.
Yeah.
Or summers. And, you know, they don't have to deal with the school and the activities and stuff like that. I don't know that level of being a single mother. I can only speak from what my situation is.
Yeah. And I think that it's okay to even hear about your situation, because I feel like that the other situation of being a full-time single mom, like, people just think that that's all that's there.
Yeah.
And you don't have these other different types of single moms and stuff like that. Like, you got you, where y'all share joint custody, or either you got the married single mom, you know, and stuff like that. And I think that we kind of have to do highlighting all three of them, because all three of them also have their own challenges and own struggles. At the end of the day, it's still that you have these little people that you have to take care of, and you're taking care of them by yourself.
And you have to understand how they don't see the traditional family.
Yes.
Because when you get married or you partner with somebody, a lot of the times it's like, either that's what I saw and that's what I want to give my children as both parents in the home, or it's from, I came from a broken home, so I want to give my children two parents in the home. So having to cater to whether they're little children or they're teenagers, or they could be grown, having to see where they're at emotionally with those changes. Those are major life changes when you decide to, for whatever reason, dissolve the relationship, dissolve the marriage, and then you parent. You're not just resolving or healing your own heartbreak or whatever it took to dissolve that relationship, but you also have to consider the feelings of the children.
So let's talk about, like, how did you come to that decision to leave, and how did you become okay with breaking your kid's heart?
Ooh. So I still carry mom guilt.
Okay.
And the children, out of their own pureness, out of their own heart, out of having a safe space and telling me how they feel, I've had to go to the bathroom a few times. But mommy will be right back to answer your question. Let it out. You know, my therapist has helped me work tremendously through mom guilt.
Yeah.
I've had to be redirected until I could learn to redirect myself to the bigger picture, which the goal is to be healthy.
Yeah.
And that came with a lot of sacrifices, and marriage was one of them.
Mm.
You know, and it, I, it went the way that it did. So in order to, I know that children are resilient. Yeah. So that was the first thing. In order to help myself through mom guilt, was to tell myself children are resilient. And if I give them a safe space and place, if I give them resources,
yes.
if it's therapy, if it's children's play counseling, we will make it through this.
Yeah.
We will make it through this. It wasn't as bad for the little one because he doesn't remember as it is for the oldest one who forever wants her life to go back how it was. Not just, I don't think that she wants me and her father together so much as far as in her mind, that's when life was good for her.
Yeah.
When me and her father were together. So that's what she says. I just wish we could all be together again. What she's truly saying and what I had to learn what she was saying was that when everybody was together, my life was good and I was comfortable, you know, and I can't fault her for that. You know, I can't fault her for raising her in an environment where I thought that that was what it was going to be and having to shift and adjust. But I can use that as a strength.
Yeah,
I've learned to use that as a strength in a life lesson, saying life is not going to go like we always planned. Let me go ahead and let you know that right now.
Yes.
So you have every right to feel heartbroken.
Yeah.
You have every right. She carried some shame. You know, she talked about kids at school who had heard things around town. I mean, all of that came with it that would make mom guilt worse or, you know, make me consider other options and stuff like that. But I had to be redirected by the people that love me, my therapist, until I could start redirecting myself to the bigger picture. Children are resilient. This will build strength in them if they have a safe space, if they have the resources, because if they don't, if they can't talk to you, if they can't say my heart is breaking because of this, if they're fearful of what you want them to say, if they're fearful of what your reaction will be, they will internalize it.
Yeah.
And for the oldest one, I didn't even know it. And I was trying to do all these things while I'm going through all of my emotions about it. And she just had an outburst one day and said, this is all my fault. If I had been a good kid and a babe, I pulled over. I never forget, I was driving, pulled over, got out. And I think she got scared. I think she thought that she was in trouble. And I said, get out and hug me right now.
Yeah.
Hugged her tight. And I said, this could never be your fault.
Right.
You could never have had the control to either keep me and your father together or not make us be together. And I'm not going to let you believe that.
Yeah.
I'm going to cancel that right now.
Come on.
You know, as best as I can. If I have to repeat it, I'm going to cancel that every time that I can, because this is not your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You are not responsible. Never will you be responsible for adults.
Yeah.
Even when you are an adult, you won't be responsible for anybody but the children that you make if you decide to have children.
Yeah.
So I try to use that language. You know, go to the bathroom.
Yeah. I'll be right back.
And then we'll start dinner. You know, it was trying to meet their need, their brokenness from my decision making.
Mm-hmm.
So the accountability had to still be there.
Yeah.
My decision making 10, 12 years ago, that is still here 10, 12 years later, now with little people.
Yeah.
And then how do we find the strength to move on? Because we got to move on.
Yeah. Mm.
Life is going to break your heart and whoop your ass. This is just the first.
And I might as well be there to help you through it.
Yeah. We can go ahead and learn these skills now.
Oh, come on. Come on. Even at your young age.
Even at 8, 9 years old.
Which is what, like, that just goes back to what some of the things we should have been taught as children, but we was not taught as children.
Not even a safe space to really say what we felt. Not even a safe space to ask questions, because you stay out of grown folks' business.
Absolutely. Quote,
unquote. Stay in a child's place. Stay out of grown folks' business. And you just learn to be quiet.
Right.
And you just start to eat up. You internalize it. You eat up your thoughts. Whatever your little mind at its developmental stage tell you is true, it's true until somebody with authority tells you that it's not. Which was in turn for my parents' divorce.
Yeah.
I used to wish for it because their relationship was not, you know, it just wasn't a healthy relationship. And I was like, I'll just be glad when they're not together anymore. And then when they were not together, I was like, oh my God, I wish for that. And it came true.
Mm-hmm.
And so I internalized, this must be my fault.
Yeah.
Until I was an adult.
Wow.
So I knew that the possibility for my child, and I, in taking accountability, I also had to be honest, and I also had to set boundaries.
Yeah.
And boundaries was new to me. And I if you think I didn't have boundaries with other people, I definitely didn't have boundaries with children.
Yeah.
With my children. They got over on me. I couldn't stand for them to cut up. I just wanted to meet the need. I was people pleasing them. They was manipulating the hell out of me as little children.
Yeah.
Manipulate. Like, I know if I just, mama's going to go ahead and fix that up.
Right.
Like, so I, that was my fault. My errors. I had to be accountable. You know, when they would say things, were like, well, was it this or was it that? Number one, here's a boundary. I'm never going to discuss with you what my relationship was with your father
yeah.
or any other man for that right. respect. That's just not going to be your business.
Yeah.
You know, all you have to know is that he's your father.
Yeah.
Period. Boundary there.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to hear me talk bad about him. You're not going to hear me say anything other than that's your father.
Yeah.
I have a respect for him as your father. You know, and that was a boundary that I had to learn, that I had to stick to, and I'm still sticking to it.
Yeah.
And then comes the boundary of, you know, their ideas about me dating and yeah. who's going to be their stepfather and who you're on the phone with. And then I have to set a boundary and say, so in the way that I operate or I desire to operate is that when the time comes that mommy is dating somebody who I think would be a good fit for our family, we will talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I will talk to you in a way that is appropriate for your age, and I'll make a decision for us.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to surprise you. There's no need for you to be anxious about it. You know, and then I had to take accountability when the questions came.
Mm.
You know, was it this? And you know, was it this or that? And I have to say, mommy had no intentions
mm-hmm.
of being with your father and then not being with your father.
mm-hmm.
Mommy had... When we got together, we honestly believe that we'd be together, we would raise you all together.
Right.
However, life has changed.
Yeah.
And we've got to learn to change with life. And we've got to learn to rebuild where our losses are.
Mm.
And that's where I'm at today. Now, it was a lot of tears.
Yeah.
I know you've heard me say, Sister Circle have heard me say, other friends that have gotten close to me in this time period have heard me talk about mom guilt.
Yeah.
But... I've had to work it because it never went away. It still hasn't gone away. It just doesn't whoop me as bad as it used to.
Yeah. I hear so much in that. I hear that I wasn't afraid to do the work with my kids.
Yeah.
And the reason why I ask you that is because I know that a lot of people are still in situations and they haven't left yet because of the children, like
yeah.
I'm going to stay here for the children, and it's just like.
For me, it was a matter. It had come to a matter of internal life or death.
Mm.
Once I, sometimes I regret it, but it was good for me. Pray the prayer, Lord, show me me.
Yeah.
And that thing started walking out.
Mm.
I could see who I had. Being long before marriage,
mm-hmm.
like this is just the baggage that came with me in marriage, people pleasing, which is nothing more than manipulation to get people to like to be around you.
Yeah.
Understanding by being groomed by older women about, you know, what a wife is. And it was based on roles and things like that. So it was natural for me to go into a relationship, you know, knowing how to do a dance. I already know how to meet and exceed what your expectations are.
Yeah.
I can go ahead and anticipate what you want, and then you think I'm doing some kind of magic. And because I can anticipate what a man's needs are, and I can go ahead and meet them before you can formulate the question, and then it's like, oh, you the one, you know?
Yeah.
You the one. But that was because I was groomed in that way, and that's what I thought
right.
I was supposed to do.
Right.
That's exactly what I thought I was supposed to do, not knowing that that was... unhealthy, trauma-based manipulation.
Mm.
Baby, I was the most inauthentic person I've ever known. If we're going to be real about it. Thinking that people-pleasing was the right thing.
Yeah.
Thinking that being what everybody else wants me to be was the right thing. Thinking that dropping my priorities, self-abandonment,
yeah.
was what you were supposed to do. Like, that's really what I saw.
That's what a lot of people do, too.
Yeah. So when it started to affect me mentally,
mm-hmm.
and that was depression, that was suicidal ideations, that was alcohol,
yeah.
to cope, to go to sleep, to keep going, because I didn't realize, even being a licensed clinician, that I was unhealthy long before marriage.
Yeah.
I was reacting and living a life through trauma lens.
Yeah.
Long before marriage. And then when I was awakened to myself, an unhealthy person built this relationship,
mm-hmm.
built this life mm-hmm. over a decade. And now that the Lord has shown me, I don't really fit here. And if I have to deny who I truly am,
my God,
I'm going to have to die on the inside knowing.
Ooh.
So that's when I say it was a matter of internal life and death. It wasn't anything that anybody afflicted upon me.
Yeah.
It was me praying a prayer. I genuinely want to get better. I was on my second therapist, and he showed me an emaciated version of myself, cut away at, people pleasing. You know, yeah. you want to be your authentic self. I just want to be free with somebody. It wasn't until the second therapist said, "When was the last time you were yourself?"
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Oh, you know,
yeah.
I guess with my girlfriends in college." Mm-hmm. She said, "What year did you graduate? And how often do y'all get together?" And I was like, "Nah, I'm gonna have to take this home and digest it. Like, yeah. I'm gonna have to."
Yeah.
Like, because that blew my mind. And yeah. it took me weeks and sessions to really, in tears and realizations that I don't know if I've ever been myself outside of playing on my grandmother's porch with my cousins. And you're talking about a young teenager. Like, because you knew how to get in line yeah. if you didn't want that whooping with their switch.
Right, right.
And
right.
that those are the formative years that you learn societal norms and expected behaviors. And that just went with me into marriage.
Oh, that's why.
Not that I was being physically abused in marriage. That just went in with me. I already know how to get down. I already know that if you want X, Y, and Z, I can get that done. Because back in childhood, I already knew how to get in line.
Right. And that's why it's so important that we allow our children to have self-expression.
And to be themselves. So I teach my children, you can absolutely tell me how you feel.
Yeah.
We've got to find a respectful way to say it.
Yeah.
We're going to find a respectful way to say it, but I always want you to know that you can come and talk to me. You can tell me how you feel. You can ask me questions. We're going to do it in a respectful way. And so with that being, I didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
It was either, now that you're awakened,
okay.
you would knowingly be choosing to deny what the truth is.
Mm.
You got away with, this is what I thought I was supposed to do.
Right.
Not even pray. You're going to pray this sweet little prayer. The truth has been revealed to you by way of some circumstances I never thought I would have saw myself in.
Yeah.
And you have to make a choice. And so I said, well, I will start over. I would rather start over with crumbs or nothing and learn how to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And then be that much better of a mom, hopefully a wife, again, somebody else in the future,
yeah.
than to knowingly deny what I now know the truth is about me. That was some work, Dorothy. That was some revelations. That was some therapy sessions. That was some crying all night long. That was some seeing your truth. Coming off the pedestal that people put you on. Because when you're a people pleasing, you can meet so many needs at one time.
Yeah.
You become pretty much perfect to people that you meet the need for.
Right.
And then when that pedestal gets chopped down, you're humbled. They see you make horrible mistakes, horrible decisions. You're like, babe, this is me.
Right. This is all.
And this is where I learn.
Right.
That this is who I am and how do I get up from it. And that's why people can't go with you to every level that you evolve at.
Look, this is the very condensed version, okay? Of the years that...
Of work.
That is a lot of work.
Yeah. But you have to... For me, once it got started, yeah. it was no stopping.
Yeah.
I could not unsee the emaciated, inauthentic, manipulating person that mm-hmm. I was. And I was like on the previous episode, was like, when you pray a prayer for the Lord, do something, like, well, now, wait a minute, big dog.
Yes.
That ain't me.
When he told me, yeah, you use me. Wait a minute, that ain't me. I don't do that. Yeah, you do. Damn, well, maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Do you have to go through an acceptance?
Yeah.
I went through what I felt was the worst kind of hindsight.
Mm-hmm.
Of me.
Yeah.
Not the so much the relationship and who did this and who did that. It was the hindsight of the choice and the decisions that I made in certain circumstances for life to keep going.
Yeah.
And when I used to tell y'all, like, hindsight then stole on me, and reflection that came in the shower to meet me. And then I had self-directed anger, because when you see yourself and you see that the pit that you're in is the pit that you dug.
Yeah.
Self-directed anger comes in to whoop that ass.
Yeah.
And unless you can learn to work through it, which I didn't learn to work through it except with support and with my therapist,
mm-hmm.
like, reflection comes to teach you not to beat you up. Like, it should not, you should not let it take over. It should be a guide. It should not take over. And these are the things that help me counsel the women that I counsel today,
mm-hmm.
not knowing that what I was going through was going to help me minister to somebody else in the form of counseling, in the form of telling them, you need to have compassion for yourself.
Yeah.
Or let me tell you what's up the road. This may be a possibility you may experience as you start to awaken from whatever you've been through, as you start to go back to traumas, you know, you need to go ahead and start practicing compassion toward yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, come on here.
So I'm a single mama. My now what is that my children get to know Michi.
Ooh.
The back home, the Oakdale, the Butler Street where me and my cousins played on my grandmother's court.
Right.
You know, when I had to really go back through reflection and when was the time that I felt like I was myself, it was when I first got to college.
Yeah.
And there were no reins on, you know, what I was supposed to do. I knew that there was an expectation, but there was nobody over me like my father was over me when I was at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then before that, the most free moments I could think about was dancing and clowning on my grandmother's porch with my cousins.
Right.
And it was all day. We go to Bible school, vacation Bible school. We play on the porch. My grandmother would cook, you know, we'd pick pecans, and it was just the freest time I can remember. And mm-hmm. that was either preteen or teenage years, early teenage years. And then I developed this kind of like this little hashtag, this slogan, back to Michi.
Yeah.
So I feel like the gift to me and my children in my singleness is they really get to know me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's come out because my daughter has said, do you talk like that? And I'm like, so yeah, this is your mother.
Yeah.
I use slang and I use curse words. I don't encourage you to use curse words. Actually, you can't use curse words. This is when I'm comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You get to see me. You get to see that mommy not only loves to listen to Zydeco, I love to see Zydeco. I love to dance. You know, you're getting to meet me as I meet me.
Yeah.
Which we don't intend for it to be that way.
Right.
But that's truly the nature of, even if you haven't been through divorce or anything like that, we're continuously evolving.
Right.
So whoever's with us in our lifetime meets new versions of us as we evolve. I feel like it's a gift to the children. And that it's not too late. That makes me want to cry. That's so pretty to me.
That is.
That it's not too late.
It's not too late, and it's a gift.
Yeah.
Like when you said that, like that just stuck out to me. Like, this is a gift, and this is the greatest gift that I can give you as your mother, is for you to really meet me.
Yeah.
That makes me teary-eyed.
I know. Just this past weekend, we were celebrating my grandmother's, my late grandmother's birthday. She would have been 100. She passed in February. And so my cousins were playing music, nothing new. And so I'm rapping the lyrics, and my daughter looks at me and I'm like, oh, baby, if you thought you were meeting me before, you're really going to meet me with my cousins. Like,
yeah,
there's no reason to be ashamed. We grew up together in some of the worst of conditions. Like, this is where it really gets loose.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. I would not trade it. I would not, for all the hard nights, for the nights that I have that I wish I had a partner to help with homework or somebody to pick them up while I go do groceries or some just somebody to make it lighter.
Yeah.
I would not trade it. My hardest day as a single mother, I would not trade it to go back to any older version of myself. And that's my now what? They get to know me. The real me. Not a facade. Not a role. So when I mother them, now that I'm on my healing journey, I mother them from a genuine place in my heart.
Yeah.
And it comes out because it reflects out of them.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, oh, I'm so tired. I just got to get y'all to bed so that I can get enough sleep and do it all again tomorrow. It's like, no, I want to lay with you. I want to tuck you in. I want to tell you that I love you. I want you to hear a sincere prayer from my heart, even though we know the Our Father's prayer, the Lord's prayer, we say that repetitively. I want you to hear me pray from a genuine place in my heart and understand that that's a prayer language too. Right. So it naturally comes out as an act of love, a demonstration of love, a demonstration of this is my responsibility.
Right.
I feel like you were a hand-picked gift for me, and it is my sole responsibility to do my best by you. And I take that very serious. And before then, before this journey for me, it was, this is what I have to do. Which is, it's a clear difference. Fulfilling a role, and this is what I have to do. This is my responsibility. And this is what I feel a charge to do. This is what fulfills my heart. I don't feel complete unless I feed your soul. It grieves me not to have you with me, but I understand in the bigger picture, you need the equal time with your father and your family there. So that's my now what. Are there long days? Yes, God. Especially when they're both in extracurricular activities. I struggle with my own independence, you know, not calling on the village, not asking their father to do extra this and that. And, you know, and that's where I have to do more work. Right. That's where I have to let people in. I have to receive support until I do have a partner. But my now what is beautiful for me.
So your now what is that I became a better mom?
Yes. I became a healthier mama. And I'm 37.7 There's still a lot of years to go because the youngest is 5.
I became a better mama. Because
I became a better mama. And when I tell you, I will tell this testimony to the day that I die, that I knew it had to be a change because alcohol was becoming such a problem for me that a dear friend of mine said, baby, I think we got a problem. The then 7-year-old said, you want me to go get your Amsterdam from the freezer? So I knew it was open.
Yeah.
You know, you think you're covering, you're concealing children. No.
Yeah.
Children see.
Yeah.
And it comes out in the purest way. She wasn't trying to slander.
Yeah.
She wasn't trying to slander me. She wasn't trying to call me an alcoholic at the tender age of 7. My behavior was creating a pattern.
Right.
Which if I've got to use alcohol to go to sleep, to calm down, to help with depression that I was not getting treated, to help with anxiety that I was not getting treated, to live in the denial that I was awakening to a reality of, it was only going to get worse. It was only going to get worse. And for the people who were closest to me, best friend, shout out to Jennifer Green. Shout out to Kim Jones, who could see it for me, who were concerned for me at the route that I was taking myself. And nobody was holding the bottle to my mouth. Nobody was telling me how to cope. It was decisions that I was making in survival mode that were very poor decisions.
Right.
Who said, I'm scared and I'm concerned for you. And after that, I just started shutting everybody out. Like, hey, I'm just checking out. Oh, I'm good. And going deeper and deeper and deeper. So it literally became a matter of internal life or death. continue to go down this unhealthy road, which is the only way you're trying to cope with it,
right?
Or make a choice of life. Ooh. And let's start this work.
Yeah.
It's going to be ugly, by the way. Like, nobody said that.
Yeah.
I'll take that back. Reverend Sewell said that. Shout out to Reverend Sewell. Said, the Lord's going to take you through some things, but you're going to be great. And he was so enthusiastic about it.
Yeah.
Like, well, what that mean? Like, what that look like?
Yeah. Good thing he didn't give you no cliff notes.
Right.
Good thing he didn't give you no cliff notes.
And it is great. I have had to. And I still think at my age, there's some things to still go through. But I do think because I had to make it was a hard decision.
Yeah.
It would have been easy to stay in a household where we had gotten to the point where we started making six figures.
Yeah.
It looked great on the outside. You know, we both had worked very hard to build that life, that lifestyle, just coming out of an apartment life, you know, over a decade of living in apartments and stuff like that. So it would have looked easy on the outside.
Yeah.
To, you know, the thing that you said, stay for the children. But it, I don't recommend that. And I've talked to people who did stay for their children 30 years later, their kids are 30. In their late 20s, 30s, like, I would have never wanted you to stay in a situation that if it was what you say it is now, what I see as an adult now,
yeah,
you know, stay for me, because it wasn't a healthy demonstration of family and marriage. So when my children have hit me with questions, the oldest, could you just have done this, or could he just have done that, with you in mind,
yeah,
mommy made a decision with your best interests, with with the best interests of everybody.
Right.
Because everybody benefited from this very hard decision. I know it doesn't feel like it.
Yeah.
I know it doesn't look like it.
Mm-hmm.
But I need you to trust my heart. Mm-hmm. My heart for you, in that I made the best decision for us. And sometimes it brings me to tears. And sometimes that means starting over. And sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some families, some marriages can work it out. But in the event that you have to choose to dissolve a relationship, whether it's marriage or exclusivity, I made the best decision I thought was best for us, with you in mind, with you in heart, knowing that it was going to be difficult, knowing that we could get through it and be better because of it.
That reminds me of, I feel like that's what God does with us. I'm making the best decision for you, with you in mind.
Ooh, that gives me chills. With you in heart.
With you in heart.
And you can't see it.
You can't see it.
And if I told you, in your corner mind, you couldn't even understand it.
And even though it breaks your heart.
Today.
I'm still going to make this decision for you.
We need an usher ministry in this house today. We need an usher ministry. You just preach that thing.
That's exactly how God loves us.
Yes.
And what he does for us.
I hate to see you hurt.
Yeah. Ooh.
My God.
If I could run, I would run. I hate to see you hurt, but
I know this is going to be for your good.
Because I know you and I made you. I know you're resilient.
Yeah. And I know that there's going to be a million jewels from this.
And I'm going to send people.
To minister to you. Come on now. He's that kind of God.
Okay. I didn't get excited.
That's
so.
My truth. My truth for single motherhood and what my journey has been. And I know it's looked a lot different. And I've heard people say, I've gotten advice to do this, do that, you know, get them back and have them. Mm-mm. No. What I'm teaching my children, not just by words, but by example, is to respect their father.
Yeah.
Whatever happened between us in the relationship, even if I hadn't had children with him, let's say I had children before getting married.
Yeah.
The principle is the same. Whether you were married, whether it was a relationship, whether it was a one-night stand, you happened to get pregnant, whatever the case is, you made a baby with somebody, the bigger picture, which is above emotions, which is above hurt, is to, they have to have a respect.
Right.
And then based on the relationship that they have with that parent, whether it's the father or the mother, that opinion is based on their experience.
Yeah.
Not your experience as the other partner or previous partner.
Right, right.
And that's where you have to be careful with children, venting with children, talking in front of children when you do have an emotional moment, because when they're young like that, their opinion is whatever your opinion is.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the foundation. You know, they can grow up and mature and then see things a little bit differently, but while they're a blank slate and they're being formed, they go by whatever the parents are doing.
Right. We're going to have another whole other episode out there right now, child. All right, y'all.
Woo. So to every, before we go, to every single mama,
mm-hmm.
keep going and do your healing work. If it is healing from your own childhood trauma, if it's healing from previous relationships, because our babies, you deserve it, and your babies definitely deserve it.
But first you.
But first you, because you can't give it if you ain't got it.
That right there, y'all, has been our episode.
I love it.
I love it too. So thank you guys so much for rocking with us. And do the work. If I got anything from this, do the work and get you a therapist.
Yeah. Find you somebody. Not every therapist is for everybody, but if you connect with somebody who's not a good fit for you, don't let that be the end of you searching for somebody to do your work with, to help you with your work.
Right. So, all right, you guys. Well, thank y'all so much for rocking with us. We will see you guys next week. Y'all have a great weekend.